The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And now we head into Diabetes Anew with Dr. Danu and his guest. Good afternoon to you, Doctor.
Good afternoon, Tosca. And of course, good afternoon to all listeners on this Thursday afternoon. And we are here on Diabetes on You. And we do have a very special program today with a very special guest. But of course, before we start, I like to, of course, tell our listeners what we are doing at the association. So before I say what we're doing at the association, I want to congratulate some people here. And the first is, of course, our recipients of national bursaries. Now, we would have had our sixth form interns over the past 4 years, and every year these interns would have done exceptionally well on their exams. So this year we actually had 12 interns getting national bursaries. So I want to congratulate all of them, and I want to call them by name because they did so well. I want to make sure I highlight and Isaiah Ali, Haley Beechan, Simran Budu, Andrew Debadeen, Samara Hamid, Adriano Harris, Isaiah James, Sherelle Khan, Christopher Mohammed, Haley Prabhu, Orlando Ramkisun, and Shavish Sankar. So these, of course, are our national bursary recipients, so I want to congratulate all of them. But I want to congratulate especially Reginald Mohammed. And Reginald Mohammed was one of our interns from this year, and he is actually the winner of the President's Medal for CSEC. He did the best in CXE, CSEC exams this year, so I want to congratulate him. Very, very proud of these young people. And of course, you'll be hearing more about them as we go along through the year with the association. So what's happening at the association? I want to also remind you all that we are continuing our testings. So you could get PSA testing, you could get HbA1c testing. The HbA1c test is now reduced at $60. So once you're a member, you could get an A1c test for $60. And that's at the head office in Trigonos. We also are gearing up for November. And November, of course, is Diabetes Awareness Month. And as we know, we have our big 5K event in November. This big 5K, of course, is going to be on the 22nd of November in Port of Spain. You can register and you can go to www.tatilrundat, so tatilrundat.com, and you can register there. Registration fees are as follows. General $150, children $120, and members of the association $110. And of course, you get a t-shirt with this, you get a fantastic medal. So we'll unveil the medal pretty soon. You're also going to be getting a goodie bag and lots of giveaways, lots of prizes. So look out for that Rundat 2025. It's going to be the biggest we've ever had. So we're looking forward to seeing you there. So I want to start our show. And of course, we are highlighting sleep in this episode. And our guest is no stranger to Diabetes and you, no stranger to Trinidad and Tobago and the association. But of course, our guest is Mr. Gregory Arnoux. He is a certified respiratory therapist. He's a certified sleep therapist, as well as the director of the ISD Health Solutions company, which is based in Trinidad. And of course, they have locations in Jamaica, and he'll tell you some of the other initiatives that they have going on right now. We are partnering with ISD Health Solutions and the Diabetes Association to conduct some research into sleep and diabetes, which is very important. So today's show, we're going to be talking all about sleep. So I want to welcome to the program Mr. Arnoux, Gregory Arnoux, to Diabetes on You. Thanks for joining me.
Good day, sir. How good to see you again.
Of course. And Mr. Arnoux, so we started off, and I mean, you would have been on my program a few times before. And of course, our listeners would have been privy to hearing about you, hearing about the importance of sleep. So we're going to expand that conversation today. Now, I want you to tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself. For those of you who don't know you, as I do, and some of us know you, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your connection with Trinidad and Tobago. I know you were in the military at one point. And how did that transition into you getting into sleep and respiratory science and therapy? Let's hear that story from you.
Sure, Andrew. I guess my career started as, you know, in the United States Air Force as a jet engine mechanic. I was on active duty there for 4 years. And in my training there, it gave me a whole deep respect of understanding precision and systems. And you really learn quickly how dangerous things could be when something isn't working the way that it should. After I left the military, I went back to school and became a respiratory therapist. And while studying, I learned so much about breathing disorders and issues that people had in their sleep. And it immediately brought me back to some memories of my grandmother. I used to watch her snore like a bear pretty much every night when she used to visit us. Where I used to live and grew up in South Florida and Miami. Both of my parents being from Trinidad and Tobago, my mother from Belmont and my father from Maracas, St. Joseph, has kind of brought my connection and my roots to dealing with Trinidad as my first stop in trying to make a difference in bringing more awareness and solutions to issues related to sleep.
And again, you did tell me this story already, and I also told you that this is probably one of the first instances the people may have experience with what sleep dysfunction is, or what are some examples of issues people might be facing in their sleep. And you told me about your grandmother snoring at night. And I think that's the first time you hear of an issue like that. So
yes.
So I want us to start talking about the topic. I want us to talk about sleep, and I want you to kind of explore a little bit with us. And before I continue, we're also going to be taking some calls. We're also going to be taking your messages. So if you do have a question about sleep, about your sleep, about some of the issues we're going to be talking about here, you could send us a message or give us a call. I know Bass is in the studio, so we'll be happy to take any of your calls, and Mr. Arnold will be happy to take any of your questions as well. So as we continue and as we start to engage our audience, talk to me a little bit about some of the common sleep conditions that you might see in your profession. What are some of the issues people might experience with their sleep? And even what are some factors that could affect the quality of sleep?
Well, some of the most common issues that we'll see is insomnia and sleep apnea, you know, restless legs or chronic snoring. And people often dismiss this snoring or poor sleep because they don't think it's anything serious, but it's usually a sign of something that actually could be pretty serious when you look into it a little deeper. I mean, the stress, the poor diets and the shift work and alcohol, obviously we know from most of the culture that we have in the Caribbean, especially around carnival time, all these things impact sleep in a negative way. And that snoring was actually just a warning sign, but we just didn't understand it at that time. So I just emphasize, you know, each day when I get the opportunity to ignore those signals and not have to go through the pain that my family did before we became more knowledgeable about how serious this concern is.
So I want to go into more detail with sleep apnea in particular, but you did mention some other conditions there. Tell us a little bit more about those. What is restless leg syndrome? What is insomnia for those persons whom it might be affecting and they never realize this is what I have?
Sure. Well, insomnia is a difficulty of you being able to fall asleep or a difficulty of you being able to stay asleep. There's a huge majority of people, more than a billion plus people, that have these challenges each night due to induced caffeine in the system, maybe exposure to light through the phones and TVs and things that are affecting melatonin levels. Also, a lot of anxiety to sleep because of an underlying issue of breathing that they may not understand that happens when they're snoring and gasping throughout the night that their partners may sometimes notice, but they don't take to heart how serious it is. There are about 80 different types of sleeping disorders, restless legs, periodic leg movement. This is kind of like those legs and arms moving in the night. Bruxism, the grinding of the teeth, narcolepsy. There's so many different types of shift work disorder, breathing issues and sleeping issues that you would probably find as you get into a deeper dive into to sleep. But what we realize is that sleep is a huge part of our foundation of health. And unfortunately, we have never really took it with much priority, and it's kind of taken a back seat to everything else.
And so if it is that someone has one of these conditions, so we're going to go into sleep apnea specifically just now, but I want to talk about insomnia, because it's often something that people take, I don't want to use the phrase take for granted, but I'm trying to say that a lot of people may be insomniacs or unable to sleep, and they just think about it as a normal part of life. How much does it actually affect your life being not able to fall asleep as much? And also, what are some of the things persons can do besides, you mentioned caffeine, having too much caffeine? What are some of the other things people might be able to do to rectify this, to be able to fall asleep when they should?
Well, obviously, if you have insomnia and you can't fall asleep or stay asleep, it's a miserable feeling. I mean, I've sat there many of night, waking up early in the morning and just can't go back to bed, or just having so much on your mind that you can't sleep. But definitely the day-to-day effects, that affects your energy and alertness. You feel drained and sluggish, and you kind of got to rely on caffeine just to kind of get through the day. That's why you see a line every morning around Starbucks as we're all trying to get that fix to get going. Your focus and your memory, your mood.
So the caffeine is causing the insomnia, and the insomnia is causing the caffeine.
That's a little of both, correct? Because you're needing the caffeine to wake up because you're so tired, and because of the caffeine being in the system, it's not allowing you to be able to fall asleep properly. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned about the blue lights on the phones, tablets and TVs, this obviously affects the melatonin production in the body, increasing cortisol and making it more difficult for you to fall asleep. And there's kind of an overlap that most people don't realize, because they've been more apt to say, hey, I think I have insomnia, but I don't think I have sleep apnea, even though I'm told that I'm snoring or I may be feeling tired. But there's like a 30 to 40% connection, a prevalence between insomnia and sleep apnea. So most often it kind of goes hand in hand as well.
Mm-hmm. So knowing that these conditions are so common, and I know that in Trinidad, we are trying right now to get some research off the ground to really see what the incidence of sleep apnea is, and some of these other sleep conditions are in Trinidad and Tobago. I know you've been collecting data for a long time through ISD, but I want to find out in totality, all of these conditions that cause you to not get enough sleep. I wanted to tell our listeners, what is the consequence of poor sleep or disrupted sleep? What are the consequences to health? What are the consequences to our day-to-day living?
Well, when sleep is consistently poor and disrupted, it affects every system of our body. It increases the risk of heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, diabetes, dementia, weight gain, erectile issues. It even impacts your mood and focus, and definitely impacts your relationships. I saw it firsthand, and how untreated sleep apnea obviously contributed to my grandmother's decline, and obviously later on in my father's life as he had a stroke. Mm-hmm. And there just aren't medical statistics for me. Like, these are actually lived experiences. And this is why I believe sleep is such a foundation of health and so important for us to understand.
You would have been observing it, and I'm sure some people may have observed, as you say, observing some of those symptoms. I will talk about some of those symptoms very soon. But you would have observed through your practice actual effects of sleep apnea. And I know, I'm not sure if it was one of your ads or an ad that you may have shared before where you share a car accident and relating it to poor sleep. No. In Trinidad and Tobago, I think now we're probably seeing an uptick in accidents. I don't know if it's because of the weather. I don't know if it's because of the lack of the demerit system. I don't know. But I mean, how much does that affect? How much does sleep? And what could somebody do? Like, okay, so I have a person, and I mean, I'm giving a hypothetical situation here. And I have a person who doesn't know that they're affected by sleep apnea. Doesn't know that this is actually affecting them. Or rather, before we get into sleep apnea, poor sleep. So you have somebody who isn't getting enough sleep, and they have to drive, in the Trinidad traffic, which is 3 or 4 hours sometimes a day.
Pressure.
and your high pressure. So what advice would you give them? If you have a working man or woman and they have to be in the traffic and they're affected by poor sleep in the night, what could we do with these people? What could we do for these people?
The first thing is they got to really prioritize sleep and not understand that this is not just for you, but it's for everybody else around you, the safety of others around you. I mean, your reaction times are going to be so much slower. Your ability to doze off, obviously, is moments that you're not really active. These things are all situations that happen pretty much at pretty much every work site, unfortunately to say, even in first responders and you know, policemen and firefighters and different people, they're sleeping during the time of work. And, you know, when you talk about drowsy driving, you know, most people think that every accident you consider that someone has gotten into is something related to actually alcohol, right? Because the mindset in the Caribbean, or Trinidad rather, is that, you know, we drink. But I'll be honest with you, man, we probably got some pretty good drunk drivers in Trinidad. Sad to say, you know, you can get home feeling drunk, right? I've made it home many nights with a little bit in my system. I hate to say, I'm not gonna, you know, admit it, but at the same time is you won't make it home if you're falling asleep behind the wheel. That's a different type of scenario, a different type of accident, an inability to actually even make a sudden reaction in time because you have dozed off and totally, you know, on alert of what's going on. So, you know, these are very serious consequences to drowsy driving. There's serious consequences to poor sleep as we talk about the health and the relationship issues and just the overall quality of life. So getting some help is the first step in understanding that, hey, you know what? I need to, you know, take some responsibility, you know, get screened, talk to your doctor, see about getting a sleep study test, start following some rituals that would help you to get better sleep and try to put the phones down and stop watching Netflix marathons each night and get you the rest that you need, right?
Yeah, so definitely some of those personal choices play a huge role in you getting enough sleep. But what about some people who take those naps during the day? So say, for example, you get 4 hours of sleep in the night, and then you take an hour during the lunchtime, and you take an hour in the afternoon. And how much sleep does a normal or regular average adult need? And can you break up your sleep like that?
I think we term this as catching a five. You know, that's what my dad used to always say, I'm gonna catch a five. But you know, that breaking up of your sleep doesn't actually give you the quality of sleep that you actually need. Sleep is a duration of time, and during that time, the quality of your sleep is highly important. If you're going through your natural architecture, what we call light sleep, deep sleep, and REM sleep. And if unfortunately this is fragmented due to tossing and turning or waking up to go to the restroom, or maybe your snoring partner is keeping you up, these things would affect your quality of sleep and your inability to be focused and resilient the next day. Because over time, you know, if this goes in night in and night out, you tend to be a person that catches a 5 or 10 minutes or 20 minutes anywhere you can, when you can, and you never truly get the true sleep that your body and mind needs.
Yeah. And Gregory, you mentioned quality, that word quality, and you mentioned quantity. And most persons, of course, equate sleep to getting, 5 to 6 or 7 to 8 hours of sleep a day or a night. But here you're introducing the term quality of sleep. And you mentioned, of course, being able to go through that those natural phases. And if it is that something wakes you up in the middle of the night, and as you said, you wake up to go to the restroom, or you're not breathing at a point in time. And this is what the scary part of it is. And here's where we're going to go into sleep apnea. This is what affects your quality of sleep. And you could be lying on the bed for 8 hours, but still getting up and feeling very tired and very exhausted. So we're going to be talking about that very soon. We're going to be talking about sleep apnea, because this is one of the, I think, I could call it a silent killer in Trinidad and Tobago, because it causes so many issues, because people take for granted how important their sleep is, to their health, to the normal operating procedures that they would go through all the day at work, at driving home, taking care of your children. So we're going to discuss sleep apnea shortly. I know we need to take a break in a bit, but we are here with Gregory Arnoud, Clinical Director of the ISD Health Solutions Limited, And we are going to continue the conversation after the break. We will be taking your calls. We'll be taking your questions. If you do have a question for Mr. Arnold and we want to talk a little bit about sleep, and give us that call. Base is in studio. So Base, let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to take some calls and talk about sleep apnea.
All right, of course. Yeah, folks, talking about sleep apnea today. You're listening to Diabetes and You right here on Freedom 106.5. We're coming back. All right, folks, to get ready to return to Diabetes and You. Of course, the numbers are 625-2257, 627-3223. You could also message us at 3061065. And, of course, we're talking about sleep apnea. Dr. Andrew Danu and his guest. Or you could ask any of your diabetes questions. Feel free.
We are continuing the conversation. We started talking about sleep before the break, and we are going to delve into sleep apnea. One of the conditions we would have mentioned earlier on, and we are here with Mr. Gregory Arnold from the ISD Health Solutions Limited, and we have been looking at what the quality and quantity of sleep has to do, or the effect it has on your life. Now, I want to go into sleep apnea because, again, it may be one of the conditions that may go unnoticed. So Gregory, tell us a little bit about what is sleep apnea and how could we actually detect for ourselves that we may be experiencing sleep apnea?
Sleep apnea is very common, and it's actually more common than people really realize. Globally, over 1 billion people are being affected. In Trinidad, just based on our population there, I would estimate anywhere from 300,000 to 400,000 people, because it does have a direct connection to a number of NCDs like hypertension, diabetes, cardiovascular disease. These things are what people are not understanding, and the weight gain associated to this. Sleep apnea is when you're asleep and your breathing comes to a stop for longer than 10 seconds. If you go without breathing for 10 seconds or more, that's termed as apnea. But during these arousals of breathing, where you may have these sensations that may last 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute or more, there's a lot of stress hormones being released as we ignite what is called fight or flight response, causing our mind to be constantly on stressed and unease to be able to go through the natural progressions of sleep. And it's all because of either one of two things. One, there's an obstruction in your airway, your tongue, your tonsils, your adenoids, or maybe just that mass around that chin and jaw, and where you see all these men with these nice beards. Underneath all of that is some nice muscle that's going to relax, unfortunately, and that's what contributes to some of the sounds that you're hearing of snoring and choking and gasping. The other is central apnea, which is more of an issue that's a neurological issue where the brain is not able to send the right nerve signals to the diaphragm to collapse. Most often in people who are obese or have neurological issues, they would have a combination of both central and obstructive sleep apnea. But the good news is, Andrew, is that it is treatable, right? Sleep apnea can be treated. It's 100% effective. And gratefully today, my mom, my dad, my aunts, and pretty much all my family is being treated for sleep apnea today as a result of it.
So before we talk about the treatment, I wanted to let us know, how can an individual listening now identifying themselves that they may have sleep apnea, and if they identify themselves as I'm at risk for sleep apnea, what are the risk factors, firstly? What are the signs and symptoms? Then what do I do next? Where do I go? What is a diagnostic test? So let's start first with what can I see in myself? What are the things I need to look out for or can be indicated to me to say, well, I might have sleep apnea?
Well, obviously, if you have a bedside partner that's been complaining for years, but you haven't taken it to heart, that you snore or you're making some sounds, that would be definitely one thing that you can consider is a good alert that you could be a candidate that should get tested. If you're feeling tired, if you feel like you've slept 6, 7, 8 hours and still feeling like you haven't gotten a good night's rest, that's also an indication that the quality of your sleep may be poor. If you're waking up repeatedly throughout the night, having to go to the restroom, waking up with a dry mouth or maybe headaches, or have, issues with blood pressure, issues with your weight, issues with maintaining your sugar levels, issues with concentrating, staying alert, like down Roosevelt Highway, trying to come home. all these things are all the signs that would determine that your sleep quality could be affected and you could be sleep deprived.
Yeah. And if you see these signs, what's next? Or where do you go to get a test? Or what type of test is done to confirm that you have sleep apnea?
Well, the first place you go is to isdhealthsolutions.com. You schedule your free sleep consultation. You have one of our team members kind of discuss with you some of the symptoms and issues that you may be facing and what on how we can help those issues by first doing a sleep study test that you get to do right in the convenience of your home. We've noticed that so many millions of people around the world now are investing in sleep trackers and different ways to look at their sleep, but actually a medical device is what you need. And obviously the direction from a physician will be the most appropriate way to address this. We provide a test that you can do in the convenience of your own home. You're testing in your own natural environment so that we can get some good habitual data from what goes on from night to night. As we know, every day is a new day and every night is a new night. So we like to capture maybe one, maybe even up to three nights of data before we have the information analyzed by our board certified sleep physicians. Once this information has been analyzed, we provide for you an interpretation by that doctor and a consultation to review the information with you and your bedside partner or family member. The best part is that these services are covered well over a decade now through all of the health insurance providers here in Trinidad: Guardian, Sagicor, Beacon, Tactil, Pan American Alive, Unimed, M&M, Cardio Health, Clico. I think I may have mentioned them all, but you know, the things that we should take advantage of is that these things are covered on your plan. Don't ignore these signs and take advantage of getting this test because it could mean your life.
So for someone who might be afraid to get, because some people are afraid to get medical tests, can you explain what is involved in a sleep test at home, or even if they come to you and do like a sleep study in a lab? Explain the procedure to us so that we make sure we assure persons that it's something easy to get done. You don't have to be afraid of it. So what's the procedure?
Yeah, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's not like you're drawing blood, because I hate needles. Or it's not like you have to go do a CAT scan or an MRI and be in some uncomfortable position. Basically, you're just going to record what you're doing while you're sleeping, right? We're going to take a look at your oxygen level, take a look at your heart rhythm using some innovative technology that you just place on your finger. It just kind of ties onto your finger and it's connected to an app on your phone that will send that information via Bluetooth to the phone and from your phone directly to our doctors in the United States that are board certified sleep physicians that will interpret that data, as we mentioned, and provide recommendations. So it's really easy. You shouldn't be in a fear or just be in a sense of like, you know what, I don't want to know if I have sleep apnea. That's the worst thing that you could actually do, is ignore the opportunity you have to address something that you may not realize how significant it is. I think that most people will realize that a third of their life is spent while they're sleeping. And unfortunately, I would say greater than 95% of the people in the world have not been tested for sleep or treated for that matter. And, you know, so many people have died, just like my grandmother, that we never knew what we knew today to make the right decisions and put the right proper protocols in place to address this breathing issue that affects so many people around the world as well as in the Caribbean.
So before we talk about how it is treated, you said people could actually die during the sleep because of sleep apnea. Is that possible?
Without a doubt. Everyone probably knows someone they've heard that died in their sleep, so to say, or died in the wee hours of the morning or early morning. Because when you stop breathing and you put this amount of strain on the cardiovascular system, there's a higher risk, once again, of you going into this stage of a restlessness, of obviously your inability to manage your blood and oxygen in the body, sends the body and the brain in a whirlwind. So heart attacks and strokes most often happen between 6 a.m. and 12 noon. And this comes from years and years of not recognizing the silent threat of sleep apnea, which goes on internally in the body, not the noise that you make, obviously, when you're snoring or choking. But, you know, these are things that people need to take more, priority in understanding that ignoring this does not make it go away. And I'm sure that we all would say that we regret not doing certain things when we had the opportunity to do it. And this is one of the areas that I would probably highly recognize that this should be something that everybody should do. It's not a question of that you think you sleep well or you don't sleep well. It's kind of like you don't know what your blood type is until you take a test. So the same thing with sleep. You wouldn't know what your sleep looks like unless you take a test. And sleep evolves, so it can change over time. So it may be something that you may have to do year after year.
And that's important. And I mean, as you mentioned, it's pretty non-invasive. It's just something you put on your finger, something you have on the app, and you get the data. And of course, the physicians are going to interpret it and let you know what's happening. So I know we should be taking a break soon, and we'll take some calls and some questions after that break. But tell us what happens next. If it is that you are diagnosed with sleep apnea, what's the next step? What can be done about it? Or is there nothing that can be done? What are the things that that a person could do to intervene? And also, what is medically done to intervene?
Well, if you have sleep apnea, you have to determine the severity of it. Is it mild? Is it moderate? Is it severe? And based on those outcomes and medical necessity, you can determine what treatment option would be considered. For your more mild cases, simply maybe the positions that you're sleeping in could be altered so that you can stop snoring and choking. Because when you lay on your back, there's a higher tendency.
Give us examples of those positions, because people want to hear that.
So laying on your back, because of gravity and as those muscles become relaxed during sleep, this is a tendency where you would find that the airway will start to collapse and the tongue slide back, and that nice harmonious sound takes place that you make when you're sleeping. And this is a one way of addressing mild cases is by maybe positioning it to your sides using what we call a positional belt. Mm-hmm. Another option would be considered what we're now starting to do. I just was just in Trinidad 2 weeks ago working with a number of dentists there, providing some support and training for a new service that we're going to offer, where you can put a mouth guard in your mouth, a little mouthpiece, similar to what footballers use or when you have, you know, braces and things such as that, a retainer that would move the bottom of the jaw slightly forward. It's called a mandibular advancement splint, and suppress the tongue. That would, in some cases, create a more active airway space to allow air to get in and out as it should, just the same way that you are while you're sitting or standing and while awake. And then for more moderate to severe concerns, you should obviously consider using what is called a CPAP machine, continuous positive airway pressure. This is actually the most effective treatment for sleep apnea today, and still the only proven way to address all severities, whether it be obstructive, central, moderate, severe, and so forth. And it's just a little gentle pressure that's being placed to your nostril area through a little mask. You can actually put it underneath your nose or around the tip of your nose or maybe around the nose and mouth. They're very small, quiet, comfortable. We provide the most innovative technology, being the ResMed distributor for that product line in the world today. It is the most recognized product. And by using these therapies, we would follow up with doing the same test that you did initially as your baseline while on this therapy, so we can see the effectiveness of the therapy and, more importantly, see if there's any alterations that need to be made as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, if it is that we have these interventions, you are given a CPAP machine and you start it, and by the way, our CPAP machines available in Trinidad, and if it is that someone has a CPAP machine, doesn't mean that they need to use it for the rest of their life. Is it something that improves? Does sleep apnea improve at all? Or is it something that just has to be treated for the rest of your life?
Those are great questions, Andrew. Most often, sleep apnea is a lifetime therapy, okay? Because if you're older, if you have a considerable amount of weight that could be contributing to this, if you do lose a substantial amount of weight, obviously it could be a good time to maybe do a retest to see whether or not there's still significant apnea is present and if there may be another option to consider. But for the most part, sleep apnea is a lifetime therapy. Utilizing oral appliances makes it a lot easier for those who can't seem to adapt to CPAP, which can at least provide some level of helping the situation, because ignoring it, obviously, and not using therapy is not going to make it any better. Mm-hmm. Most persons or children that tend to grow out of sleep apnea, if they're having sleep apnea as, you know, a child and snoring, it's not cute that they're snoring like their dad or their mom. It's not more than anything that's kind of was in my family. It's a hereditary thing. You know, most people in their bloodline, just based on the physiological makeup of their chin and jaw and, you know, chest and things such as that, that tends to have some effect on the way that they're able to breathe. But therapy is long-term. And the sooner you start, the better, the less damage is done, because every night you go without getting oxygen or every day you cause serious consequences long-term in the shadows, unfortunately, that most people don't find out until later in the game.
Mm. Okay, and definitely that's very useful information for persons to be aware of first what the symptoms are and know that there's treatment. But it's important to note as well, because there are personal changes that you can make that can affect along too and improve your condition. So that's important to note. You don't have to be on the machine forever. You're able to manage it well, but it's important to identify the condition earlier on. So we're talking with Gregory Arnoud, Clinical Director of ISD Health Solutions. We're talking about sleep and diabetes, but we didn't get into the diabetes part as yet. So I wanted to take a final break for the program. When we come back, we will entertain your calls and your questions, and we will also talk specifically about diabetes and sleep, diabetes and sleep apnea. So Bass, let's take a break, come back, and we'll wrap up the program.
All right, folks, so we now return back to Diabetes and You, Dr. Andrew Danu and his guests.
Thanks, Bish. And we are here with Gregory Arnoud, Clinical Director at the ISD Health Solutions. We're talking about sleep and your diabetes. We've been chatting before the break, of course, about various conditions people may face involving their sleep, specifically talking about sleep apnea, how to diagnose sleep apnea, how it's treated. Now I want to get into how diabetes could actually affect or cause some of these sleep problems. So Gregory, we know that many people are living with diabetes in Trinidad and Tobago as well. I mean, are all around the world. But we want to know, does diabetes affect your sleep? Can it affect your sleep? Because can sleep affect your diabetes? Let's talk about that.
But definitely, Andrew, as we know, the rising diabetes problem throughout the Caribbean is something that we've all been challenged with. And unfortunately, we don't seem to find to get a grip on it. Because there's a direct relationship with diabetes and obesity sometimes, and sleep apnea being part of that culprit, it's hard to determine if it's the chicken before the egg or the egg before the chicken. But what we do know, especially with type 2 diabetics, they're more likely to have sleep apnea due to excess weight, which is most common in most conditions, and increased fat deposits around the airway, making it more likely for it to collapse during sleep. The insulin resistance is where sleep apnea causes repeated drops in the oxygen. And these stress surges in the body, and this disrupts the hormones and increases the insulin resistance, worsening the blood sugar control. And then the elevated glucose levels can make people wake up often in the middle of the night to urinate or cause restless sleep, or even cause them, because of the apnea symptoms, to be worse. So, you know, when you take a look around the world, statistically, 50% of type 2 diabetics show to have underlying sleep apnea, and 70% of those who are obese. So this is something that we've always talked about, that we wanted to do, and we're gratefully going to kick this off here shortly with doing a study in Trinidad, as well as we're going to do it in Jamaica, to take a look at the prevalence of what sleep apnea, as well as and diabetes, has in common, because we don't really understand it. And the answer, obviously, is not going to be reducing the solo cans. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be adding more insulin or even tracking your sugar levels. Obviously, that's important. But if the root cause is never getting addressed, unfortunately, we're just putting a patch on a tire that obviously needs to be replaced, so to say.
And definitely we need to address it, because and I mean, you're mentioning how diabetes could affect your sleep, because we know that diabetes would definitely be affecting your sleep, but also the sleep affects the diabetes as well. Because, I mean, if you don't get good sleep, your body would be able to manage your blood sugars as well. As you mentioned before, cortisol level increases, and cortisol is one of the hormones that cause the body to gain weight, especially around the butt belly area. It's a stress hormone. See, stress hormones increase. So it's important to note that about diabetes. So we've been talking about sleep apnea. We've been talking about how all of these sleep conditions can affect someone. So I want to find out from you, Gregory. Let's look at the bigger picture. Let's look at in Trinidad and Tobago. What do you think can be done? Because Trinidad is a small country compared to some of the bigger ones across the world. If it's such a huge problem that so many people are having sleep apnea or sleep issues, is it the solution to treat all of these people, or is it something that can be done to prevent these problems? What can be done to prevent people from actually developing sleep apnea in the first place?
Well, I think it's a lot of education and awareness that needs to be the first step. Even our children and the generation that are coming behind us, these children and this exposure to these phones and light and poor eating habits and watching TV and these things that obviously that affect you getting to sleep and getting the ample sleep you need, these are all going to cause more NCD issues. I think we have to take a strong look at our medical fraternities and the patients that are walking in and out of your offices that are overweight, hypertensive, diabetic, or may have other complaints that probably need to be recognized at a local level as opposed to trying to wait until they get to a cardiologist to get to the problem or get to a neurologist or something of that nature. Surgery is a good option. I forgot to mention in children to remove some of this blockage in the airway that could help maintain the airway space and can keep the airway patent so that oxygen can be sustained. And eye strain is something, as I heard the commercial speaking about the optical advertisement, so many optometrists are sending patients now to us because they see the same weakness in the eyes and the strain placed on the eyes due to lack of oxygen getting into the socket and the pressure around the sockets of the eye. Erectile dysfunction, I work with a few physicians there helping in urology space with Dr. Prasad with his patients that actually he realizes there's a direct connection to, you know, this erectile issues and stamina and endurance due to lack of oxygen to the body or to the penile area, rather, during the REM sleep cycles. When we take a look at the workplace and issues and the safety issues, it's where your HR directors and obviously your HSE the managers have to take a more proactive approach and not just wait until there's an accident that happens or somebody complains that someone's sleeping at work and make this a part of the routine medical annuals that you have to test for sleep. Obviously, if you're going to be in high risk jobs and responsibilities, even more necessary than ever. And then, like I said, we work with a number of dietitians there because we are dealing with lifestyle changes that have to come in place. I've been working with Nandini Samuel as well as Kimberly Siraj there to help with weight loss strategies and putting meal place, you know, plans in place, because sleep is part of the problem, but the ongoing problem is what we do while we're awake too, right? So we got to make sure we are eating when we need to eat, not putting certain substances in our body, and have a ritual that we can do from night to night to help us prepare for sleep mentally, physically, and emotionally.
And as you mentioned, putting stuff into your body, what about alcohol and smoking? How does that affect sleep?
Well, we know that those are not really good at any time, but it does affect your sleep in a negative way. And most often due to the lifestyles that we have, I mean, you know, these things will exacerbate sleep apnea. And unfortunately, you know, we think that having a drink makes us sleep better, but it's not. It's proven through science that our REM sleep disorders happen as a result of having alcohol in the system. And so we don't truly get the quality of the sleep that we should. So overall, you know, sleep is everyone's priority, whether you're a man, a boy, a woman, child, adult, we all need to take a more proactive approach to looking at sleep and trying to reduce motor vehicle accidents, try to improve the productivity and the safety risk in the workplace. And as I mentioned, make sleep the main priority when you're doing a triage. It's always great to look at blood pressure and sugar levels and weight while you're awake, but there's a hidden problem that goes on in the bedrooms of so many people around the world, especially in the Caribbean, that we're not taking the time to really focus in, because I actually saw an article in Guardian a couple of years back called The Impact of Sleep. And it said that the number one and number two cause of death in Trinidad is related to heart attacks, cardiovascular issues, and motor vehicle accidents, both having a direct connection to untreated sleeping disorders or sleep deprivation. So it's real. These numbers every year get higher. We're not getting to the root cause. And unfortunately, until we shift and we start thinking about sleep differently, we can't really change the outcomes the way we would like to.
I like the fact that you mentioned that maybe sleep should be incorporated more in triage. Maybe sleep should be, or sleep assessment should be incorporated more into annual physicals, because then of course it's easy to do now. The technology has advanced to the point where it's so easy to diagnose, and I mean even not even performing a test, there are questions that you could ask. I know on the website that you have, when persons go, they ask some of these questions to diagnose if it, in fact, you might be having an issue with your sleep. So So it's very easy to incorporate some of these questions in a health center, for example, when persons go to see their doctors. So it's something we definitely could advocate for, Gregory, adding some of these questions as part of normal clinic visits.
So true. It should be, like I said, part of the medical annuals for every employee is important for the wellness of that person as well as the safety of others around. As we can see that, as we all make one more decision into doing something that's going to change the outcome of lives, we start with what starts our day is how well we sleep. It's kind of easy to figure out.
So as we wrap up the program, Gregory, to persons listening out there who may be affected or may think that they may be affected by a sleep disorder, what is your advice to them? So someone listening right now thinking, you know what, this sounds like me, this daytime sleepiness thing, I'm sleeping all night, I'm not getting rest, I'm snoring a lot. What is your advice to that person listening right now?
Get a sleep study. Visit us at isdhealthsolutions.com. Schedule your free consultation. Call if you need to, 6-2 snore or 6-5 snore. Get the help that you need. Don't ignore it and let this fall on deaf ears. If you had the chance to hear this today, was a reason why. Take advantage of the information, because information means nothing if you don't apply it. So we hope that everybody has taken something from this segment today, understanding the close connection between diabetes as well as all the other NCDs and our quality of life to getting proper rest, and take advantage of the study, the research study. If you know someone that has DUP diabetes and would like to get a complimentary study and be a part of this most historic research study we're doing, visit isdhealthsolutions.com/DATT, D-A-T-T, the Diabetes Association of Trinidad. And let's see if we can hopefully get this under wraps in the next up and coming weeks and have some better information about how we can better manage diabetes and other chronic illnesses associated to poor sleep.
Sounds good. And definitely, you could hear more about sleep and diabetes from the association. Give us a call at any time and we'll be able to put you in contact with the resources that you need. And as we wrap up the program, I want to thank Gregory so much for taking his time out to join us again on Diabetes on You. We'll be chatting some more in the future, Gregory, another show as before the end of the year. We could talk some more, because the more we talk to people about sleep, is the more they will know what they could look out for and know more of what they can do. Definitely. And I do want Gregory?
One thing, Andrew, I forgot to mention. This is Sleeptember, September, Sleeptember month, and we have a great sale, 15% off on all of the testing and equipment for therapy. So this is no better time than the present to take advantage of this time and getting your sleep handled in Sleeptember of 2025.
Definitely. So reach out. And if you need assistance from the Diabetes Association, you can call us at 607-3288. That's 607-3288. You can message us on our Facebook page or Instagram or LinkedIn or TikTok, any of those pages. Or you could even visit us at our head office in Chagones on Success Street. So if you need our services, we also have an endocrinologist, Dr. Rishi Ramtahal, who you know well, Gregory. Working with us at the association on Wednesdays. He sees patients. We have a battery of tests that you could do, thing or continuous glucose monitor. We are about to lower the price of it. So starting from next week, I believe, we're going to be having the continuous glucose monitor for just $550 if you are a member, and $650 if you're a non-member. So if you're a member, you get a CGM for $550. I think that's extremely cheap. And of course, it's something that could save your life if you're living with diabetes. It's something that could improve your life significantly if you're not living with diabetes. So continuous glucose monitor is available at the association. Again, give us a call at 607-3288. With that, we're going to wrap up today's program. And next week, we're going to have another special program. We're going to be talking next week with Dr. Stacey DeGale. And we're going to be talking about aging, and knowing that this month we're focusing a lot on aging. We're going to be talking about aging and physiotherapy and how your mobility matters. So look out for that program with Dr. Stacey DeGale next week. And of course, have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody. Over to you, B.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.